This is the beginning of Channel 2 Right and the beginning of the visit with Channel 2 Over. Channel 2 Over. This is Channel 2 Over. And the beginning of the visit with Aaron this Saturday morning, 12th of December, 1970. Channel 2 Over. Channel 2 Over on Shirley's Reel. And the beginning of the visit with Aaron this Saturday morning, 12th of December, 1970, right at noon. And it's 1:30 now. This is a visit with Aaron. And Channel 2 Right on Shirley's Reel, Channel 2 Over on Shirley's Reel, beginning the visit with Aaron this Saturday at noon, the 12th of December, 1970.
Sit down, let me give you a piece of ham for lunch.
Oh, no, thank you. I just ate a few minutes ago.
Well, sit down.
Sure anyway. Did.
If I can get trying to check. It's better to.
Well,
that's true.
So early.
Yeah.
Go around and eat with all your customers.
Well, yeah, I could do that, but I just stopped down there as I come by and I said, well, I better go ahead and eat because I don't know what time I get back around, you know.
Oh, I see.
And so that's what usually happens. Just eat when you get a chance.
Well, we've been running that old heater ever since we saw you on and off. And
Well, it's been warm, though.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's been warm.
Didn't use too much, did we?
No.
Well, it's not a matter of using much. It's too much exhaust. You know, it's the burners are all out of whack.
Uh-huh.
And I came down to Ocala one morning, but I didn't linger. And I thought about it, though. I ought to go ahead and see what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And just throw that in the way.
Well, I've got one down there that should be a real bargain on a circulating heater. The stove sells for around $270-some. But it's a last year's model. See? And to move it out and get it off the floor, he told me I could sell it for $199. And it's a nice heater. It's for a circulating heater, and I'm quite sure I know it. No one reading it's got a blower on it and everything. See, and he told me I could sell it for $199 and plus estate tax on it, which would make somebody should make them a good deal on it. Of course, they got cheaper stoves than that out and all this. Don't get me wrong. Originally sold for around $270-$275 or something like that, see.
I just paid $7 for that.
Well, yeah, but I can't get out like that on them, see.
So it can't, it couldn't
compare with it.
Too efficient, could it?
Hey, I saw a house just burnt down around here.
What happened?
I don't know. I think they said it burnt this week, last day or two, anyway.
It's one of your old friends.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that as I come by. Old George beats his way through around here. And
mm-hmm.
Won't pay nobody. Won't do nothing. Well, the good Lord gets before he can get his, can't he? That's true.
Sure,
I was just thinking about that as I come by. I couldn't help thinking about it.
You haven't seen him?
No, I just saw the house was down as I come by. I knew it was up for the fore part of the week. I had to take some diesel over Sam Ward's.
It had one of them little burners exploded. And once they get a hold of one of those burners, they wouldn't throw it away for a love of money.
Huh. And he had a nice circulating heater.
Oh, he did?
He had a nice one. You know, pretty nice stove. And he complained that he could smell fumes from it.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't light it. He threw it outside and let rust out and got one of those things put in 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And there wasn't nothing wrong with his heater except probably need cleaning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what it was. I told him the time that's probably all he needed was just clean it out. As much soot and stuff in there as probably that was what he was smelling, you know, picking up fumes off of that. So.
I guess most of your customers, like me, they're not very mechanical. They won't fix little things.
Well, now that is true. Most people won't. Just won't mess with them. They just don't. I don't know what the reason for it is or nothing, but they just don't do it.
Let me see. The gas people had a man that came through occasionally for a while. And I don't remember just what he did here, but I couldn't tell any difference after he got through with it.
Mm-hmm.
It may be I asked him to do something to see that he couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Could be he just didn't know anything to start with.
Well, that's true, too. That's true.
Yeah.
Now, we've got three men. We got two that works year round to do the maintenance work. And then to work on heaters in the wintertime. They know heaters. They know pretty well what they're doing on central heat and all of this stuff. See, they know what they're doing on those furnaces. And then we've got an outside man that's licensed to do that kind of work. And he's an electrician to start with. And he knows heaters good. But we've had all three of them just as busy as they could be all winter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then can't keep up with the orders.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, there's not many people doing that kind of work.
No. Well, no. You remember old J.R.?
Yeah.
You see, he helped out no telling how many people during the season.
And now he's out.
Clear out.
Yeah.
He won't even talk to you about it.
And there's three or four there in town, they quit completely. They used to do that kind of work.
Yeah.
And one or two of them that did finally quit, should have quit 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, now, let me tell you, Buster. And one of these, Buster, J.R. is saying about
it. Yeah, I know.
It's slow pay working for your neighbors. I realize that. And they don't want to pay you much for getting out of bed at night.
That's true.
Yeah.
But now, he don't get much where he's working.
No.
Up there in the maintenance department at the university. Of course, what he does, he gets paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not hard work. And it's ours, but it looks to me like he could work his own hours and make a whole lot more than they pay him up there. But
well, I'm sure he could. I'm sure he could if he can collect it. That's the biggest thing. And just like you were talking about there a minute ago, everybody in the whole community knows him. I think, well, he ought to give me a cut, you know. And a lot of times they say, well, I'll pay you next week and this and that, you know, and they just don't do it to get him out of jam. But now, down there with us, because we started out, or Shell did, they started out just to take care of their own customers. That's what they wanted to do, take care of their own customers. So they sent these two guys that worked for us, the maintenance crew, to school, learn these stoves and furnaces and all this. And they do know them. They know what they're doing on them. But now they come out and say, clean this stove here and adjust it out, they charge you $11.95 flat rate for doing it. All right, if he can come in and vacuum it out in a few minutes and there's not too much wrong with it and clean it out, well, that looks like a big service charge, really. But still, he may have to come in here and he may have to tear the carburetor all to pieces and then he may have to spend 2 or 3 hours on it.
And still it's $11.95,
see. Plus the parts, if he had to put in parts on it. So, break it down straight across the board, well, that's not a bad price, really. Of course, you have some few people that complain about it and all this. But most of them don't, because most of them don't call you until they need you. The stove just about quit or has quit before they called you, see. That's kind of like driving an automobile. You won't have nothing done to it much longer as it's running.
No.
See. And,
they give us a little juice.
So, anyway, that's what they've been charging down there. Now, you get up to your floor furnaces in the central area, that runs $18.95. Cleaning up. But they've got to go in there and replace the nozzles on the guns and readjust them all out. Airflow and everything, too.
It'd be nice to have someone check it for you back before you start using it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. If you could get that done and get it arranged to where you could go ahead and do that and have it all checked out, you'd be ready for it.
Be ready.
But boy, that first cold spell we had, I was on the switchboard down there for a while I was waiting on getting my truck out of the shop, getting it going. And that telephone just ringing continuously.
Yeah.
Everybody's having troubles.
Yeah, that's why you make friends and enemies, at least not make many friends.
Fresh squeezed
onion. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, now that's the truth, because everybody wanted it right then, and you just couldn't do it. All you could do is just take them as they come, see.
Even your friends, you couldn't get too quick enough.
All you could do is just number the orders and let them catch them as they come in, see. That's all you could do. And, of course, you make somebody mad that way. You're bound to, but.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, who are you working for now?
Myself.
Yes. So if I don't pay you, it's your loss.
Mm-hmm.
That better than working for them?
Yeah. Yeah, it is better. It's better all the way around. Well, I can average about, if I don't have no major breakdowns and this type of thing, well, I can run about 3 cents a gallon. That's about the way it figures out. Well, you go out here, that's not big money, nothing like that, but you run out here and you put out 2,000 gallon cold day. Well, you pick up $60 for it. See, that's what it amounts to. And if you're working for them while you're out here, you're going to make $1.65 an hour.
That's the best they do?
That's the best you're going to get, see.
You mean that's the best they pay?
Yeah. The minimum wage. That's all anybody pays. Just about.
I'm a darn.
So that's what I say, it's better to do this than it would on my own than it would be to be working that way, see.
Well, nobody can live on the minimum wage unless everybody in the family works.
No, it's a problem. But you know, even at that, the jobs are not that plentiful. Not really.
Sort of changed.
Mm-hmm.
Has it changed?
Yes, changing fast. Well, for two reasons. One reason is nobody's doing the business that they was doing. Volume's just not there. People haven't got the money, see. They're not doing it.
Oh, is that right?
And so that's cutting back there, so then they got to cut their help back.
And you know, these young people don't know about that.
No. And you can talk all day and you can't convince them. You can't tell them that, see.
Do you remember this little spinner fella that brings the gas around for that Williston Electric?
Mm-hmm.
You know him?
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
I didn't know him when I see him, that's about all. So.
He's over here today, and he had the most remarkable talk. I just stand out there talking to him. And I used to talk to him about the same thing 2 years ago, where it's hard to make a living. And he wasn't interested in that. He had on a little shirt like you've got, and no undershirt. And, no, he said, that's all he wore. And he went on into it, and he can't stand to be indoors. He gets up first thing in the morning and goes out and gets a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just remarkable. He said his family kept the house hot. He couldn't stay in that. He's a gas man.
Mm-hmm.
He said they must have kept it up tonight.
Yeah, I see him around all the time over the route and everything.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, I buy gas down there at the church for him, from him all the time, see, for the church.
Yeah.
He seems like a pretty nice guy, boy.
Well, now, some big, hearty fella you might think ought to get out and crow a little morning. But, yeah, he's a little spinner fella. I think he'd have energy for it. He'd even got a place down in the brush, in the, you know, the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Goes down there. And
yeah, and he fishes a lot down there on the water, down there on the coast down there.
Down the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fishes a lot down there. Redfish.
Yeah.
Well, I never see Aaron with a jacket on.
I hardly ever wear one. Just when it's real cold, if wind, I can't stand that wind. I can't stand wind. But
never did like it.
Now, I went to Kentucky this past weekend. We run up there. And, of course, it's cold up there. Riding along with the heater on the car, you know, and it kept the car nice and warm. So
yeah.
I was in my shirt sleeves, had my coat off in the car there. Because you had to drive in this type of thing. The front seat always gets a whole lot hotter than it does in the back seat. To try to keep them warm, you know, but it keeps it too hot up there. But anyway, we got in there just about dark Saturday night. I pulled in to get gas, jumped out of the car to go in to sign the card for him. I like froze slam death before we get back in the car. That's true. It was down to about 20 up there. And that wind must have been blowing 20, 25 miles an hour, you know, across there. And it would just freeze you right quick.
That wind will get you. That wind does it. It don't have to be down to 20, does it?
No, sir.
Well, now, we missed that. That didn't get down here.
No. No, and I talked to David. He came down, met us down in Kentucky Monday, and he said it was down to 10 up there, and it was snowing a little when he left. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't heard from him since he got back. I don't know how much snow it was there, but when he got back, it was snowing up there.
And David just quit the school business.
Yeah. But he told me Monday that he just might try it again.
Up there.
Well, I don't want to be up there or down here or where, but since staying out over the year, he just might go back in it and try it again.
Well, he had a long dose of it. He didn't went to school day and night.
Yeah. Well, that was part of his troubles to start with. Because he liked, what was it, a week? I guess school started down there. He's supposed to start teaching them about a week or 10 days before he graduated up there.
Yeah.
See? And they gave him time off to finish graduating. So actually what he did, he just went right out of school.
Yeah.
Up here right on the end of this and working full time on it. And that gets beating you pretty hard, right?
Yeah.
That was part of his troubles. But he's been out of it, and so he says he likes his work fine. What he's doing now, he likes it.
Let me see, what did you say you're doing?
He's working for W.T. Grant.
Oh, yes.
One day, he's supposed to be a store manager if he stays with it. But I don't know.
That would rip the hell out of him, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's working 6 days a week. He has to work every other Sunday.
Sunday up there?
Yeah. They keep it open every Sunday, but he's on duty every other Sunday.
And he doesn't get 3 months in the summertime.
No, he doesn't get nothing. Actually, he gets 1 week, so he gets, see. And one thing, I might have kind of had him upset a little bit Monday when I was talking to him. I wouldn't even call him. Tell him that we was going to Kentucky. Well, I figured he might maybe get him in jeopardy, you know, make him, he'd want to come, you know, and maybe couldn't, and this type of thing, get him kind of messed up. But his granddad was sick. And that's the reason we run up there, see about him. So he called down, see about his granddad, and found out we were down there. Mm-hmm. So this was Sunday. We got in there Saturday night, and this was Sunday. And we were going to just leave early Monday morning. We just didn't have enough time, but we had to wind up and see back. So this was Sunday he called. So then he called back down and got a hold of his mama. Talked to her. And he said, I don't get off from work till 9 o'clock tonight. He was working Sunday, see. But he said, I'll see you before daylight then Monday morning that I'm coming down. And he did. He came on in and got in about 2:30, 3 o'clock Monday morning, see. Yes, about 300 or 400 miles from there.
Oh, that far?
Yeah, around right close to 400 miles. But anyway, he came on down, and he said they didn't even want to let him off Monday.
Well, this season?
Yeah, they didn't want to let him off, see. And I don't know whether he just told him, finally I talked to him, or whether he just taken off Monday now. I don't know.
Yeah.
These kids, you know, they get through the head, they want to do something, and dead warm out there.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, he come down Monday and was going back Monday night.
Yeah.
He'd be back for Tuesday then.
But it's too cold to look around up there. You didn't get out much.
No. No, and it didn't have time either. Too much looking and running. We got in there Saturday night and left there Monday by noon.
That's a long trip.
It is.
Did you have much experience with cattle?
No. No, I actually didn't have any. We keep two or three around, but that's all. There's mostly some milk cows.
Well, how's the oranges around here? Are they edible?
You know, I really haven't heard nobody say except somebody. Just somebody told me the other day that all of them that wasn't fired froze.
Mm-hmm.
And the groves that fired heavy must have saved quite a few of them, see. Or maybe the most of them.
Yeah. But now on down the middle of the state, they didn't even have fire, did they?
Yeah. Yes, sir. That coal went all the way down, they said.
Yeah.
Even down in the, it got down in the Everglades, down and on the truck's crop.
Yeah. But it was light fire.
Yeah, they didn't fire like they would here, I'm sure, but they did fire way on down, though.
Yeah.
Well, this is the first time that I have seen whole groves just brown, just absolutely burnt.
Uh-huh. I was by this grove with John McRae's. I had to go down on the, down to the lake down there in that new grove he got. I said a new grove. It's 5, 6, 7 year old, I imagine, or maybe older than that, you know. It's a fairly new grove. But it looked to me like it might kill trees and all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
I don't know how much wood damage it had, but I know that even the next 2, 3 days later, everything in there, just like you said, was just as brown as it could be. And,
goodness.
And
now, what grove is that?
John McRae's.
Well, he's a poor man, isn't he?
Yeah. And he couldn't fire it. He didn't have no way firing it, see.
Yeah.
And he didn't fire none. But it looked to me like it ruined that whole grove.
Mm.
No,
maybe it didn't. Maybe it's just the fruit and the leaves, you know, and this tender stuff on it. Maybe. I don't know.
I never saw them look like this.
But it looked to me like it ruined the whole grove.
I remember Frank McRae said they had this little grove up here to retire on. Well, they got froze out 2 or 3 times after he said that. And I could see right off that citrus was that's a rich man's crop.
Yeah, that's fine.
And like they used to say about tobacco up the country, you work it 13 months a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Buddy Huff told me one time, because Buddy's got a lot of groves, but he said it cost him $10,000 every night he fired.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
$10,000 every 95.
Yeah.
Of course, it's like, see, you got a lot of groves. A lot invested to start with, see.
Yeah.
Take care of it. But now, a poor man couldn't do nothing like that.
No.
You couldn't even do it on a smaller scale, you know. A poor man can't do that.
You just don't have the labor.
You don't have the labor, you don't have the money, and you don't have the backing.
You can't do it yourself.
No, sir.
Even if you had the money and you don't have the money.
That's right. Now, Buddy's in position. Of course, he can get help. And he doesn't have any problem getting the fuel, I don't guess. In fact, I know he don't.
Oh, well.
Pick up phone call, Tampa, Jacksonville, anywhere he wants to, you know, and they'll shoot him out for 7 or 8 truckloads if he wants it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See?
Oh, yeah.
They told me at the citrus tower that around there they fired 20,000 pots.
Yeah.
What does it cost? About $5 a pot? Somebody, anyway.
Well,
that's
no.
Just around there, though.
They hold 10 gallon of fuel, I believe.
That don't last long.
And, well, I don't know whether one tank will last all night or not, no saints. Because they usually don't start firing until up about midnight, see.
Yeah, until it gets cold.
Yeah, when it gets to a certain temperature and then they start firing. Probably midnight at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that, see. And each one of those pots holds 10 gallons. So I don't know whether that would last the rest of the night or not in there. I never have heard nobody say, well, you got to go back through and refill them that night or not.
Well, now, them 2 mornings here, when it froze, it it was freezing up toward the middle of the morning.
Yeah.
So, that's a long time.
Yeah. Well, I know up yonder, Sunday and Monday, I noticed ice laying right out in the sun. Made their whole day, didn't it? Now, it's cold when it lay out in the sun, not melt.
Yeah. Even
yeah.
in Kentucky.
Anywhere out, it's cold then.
You know, you'd think, a lot of people come down here and think, well, it'd just be nice to have a little roll. But, you know, the way it's got to be, it's not nice to have anything. It's sort of worrisome, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You got to sweat everything out.
Now, seems to me like if you was way on down south, you know.
Yeah.
It might be nice to have a little grove.
Yeah.
Of course, I know they've got problems too.
Yeah.
They've always got problems that we don't know about and all this kind of stuff. I know they've got to happen, but seems to me like it might be pretty nice down there, but now I wouldn't want to invest too much in a grove up here. Even if you had it, you know, I wouldn't want to invest very much in it.
Reckless to me, even to have a few trees, they're gonna kill them. You know, I remember somehow or other that these oranges, the citrus, they don't have to be out by themselves. They grow like dogwoods under big trees.
Yeah,
and close together.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that, you see, that's a whole lot of protection.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what you get into on that, though. I mean, I don't know that much about it, so I don't know what you get into. Now, back here over on the river, in them swamps and up in there, you know, I've been back there several times to go back in there and hunt. And way down in those woods now, just like you're talking about, real thick woods, and you run up on them, 3, 4, 5 orange trees down in those woods, and don't look like there's no way you ought to freeze them out, you know, in all those trees. But almost every one of those oranges they run into are those sour oranges.
Yeah, they're not, yeah.
See? And I don't know whether that's the only kind that would grow back in a place like that, or whether they just voluntarily came up there, or whether they were set sometime, or what happened.
Yeah.
And you know, you take these sweet oranges, I don't know whether they'd grow down there or not. That might be a reason that they don't do it so much, I don't know. But I noticed almost all of them I've run into out in the woods that way, they're no sour oranges.
You know, that really surprised me, old David running off up the country. I guess he hadn't been away from home. He just knocking around a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, then his wife sees from up there.
Yes.
And she taking notion she wanted to go home.
Yeah. She'd been away as long as she wanted.
Yeah. And that had a lot to do with it. And, of course, just like you said, David never been away either, and he wanted to try it. He wanted to see what it's like, you know.
Well, you know, I hadn't thought of that in a long time. Boys used to run off from home.
Mm-hmm.
They'd get fed up with the old man or something around the house, you know. And they'd run off from home, and sometimes they'll come back.
Yeah.
That is a steady thing. Now, that sounds like a long time ago, don't it?
Well, they may still do it. I don't know. But anyway... They didn't plan on living and moving up there when he went up.
Oh, didn't?
No, they didn't plan on. They were just going up there for a month.
Oh.
And he'd already enrolled over here at the university to go back, start back school this fall to finish up on his master. This last fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd already enrolled and everything. And went up there in July. He was just going to be gone a month.
Yeah.
And I really don't know what happened. And it wouldn't be fair to say too much about it, I reckon, but not knowing, see.
No.
But we found out through other sources. Now, David never did mention it, Terry, or she didn't mention it, saying he wrote it down.
Yeah.
But some of her people were down and said Mary got up there and told him she just wasn't going to come back.
She had enough of it.
Yeah, she wasn't going to come back. So, anyway, he went ahead and hunted a job then. And stayed up there.
I thought you said that he'd run into some of his friends up there.
No, he just
that's
went up.
That's not coming to get a job up there.
No, he just went up there to visit her people. See.
I see. What did you start out doing, Aaron, when you left home?
Well, when I first left home, I was going to school. I went on in school. And I was gone for about 2 years. And then during this time, I'd done been called for draft, I'd done been volunteered and all this, and couldn't get in service. And then I couldn't get a job nowhere. And so I finally got a job with the shipyard and worked there for a little while. And then I came back, and that job played out, and I still couldn't get a job nowhere. So then I came back and farmed for a year. Dad got crippled and couldn't do nothing on the farm, so I come down and put out crop for him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and stayed there almost a year.
How old was you then?
Oh, I was, I guess I was 21, 22 then.
Well, you was old enough then to know what you were doing when you was farming.
Yeah, I went on and came back, see.
So you learned to write smart about farming then.
Yeah, way to farm up there, not down here.
Yeah.
But anyway, I stayed there for about a year, and then he got able to go back to work and take over the farm again. Well, then I got out and hunted a job, the only thing I could find. And just went and built a boat, and that's about all you can say for.
Well?
Of course, I went in service then, and I was in service for about 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
They finally take me.
Yeah. But you've done a little bit of everything?
Yeah.
Did you have a carpenter, or electrical work, or plumbing? Or
I did some carpenter work after I come to Florida.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a job nowhere. See, we had to come to Florida. We didn't, David was 2 years old. And the last winter we was up there, we had him in the hospital 3 times. That winter was double pneumonia. All 3 times. And the doctor told us we didn't get him out from up there, we were going to lose him. One or two ways about it, he'd never make it to another one. So we just pulled up and come to Florida. That's where he told us to come. You know, get down there, warm up. So we came on down here and didn't know nobody. Didn't know a soul in Florida. We didn't have no relations in Florida. Didn't have nothing. We got down here then and couldn't find work. So,
I see that'd be around...
That's in 48. Fall of 48.
Yeah.
So I worked for a roofing outfit over in Ocala for... Well, we come down here in November, I guess. Yeah. Down in November. Last part of October, first November. So I finally got a job with this roofing outfit over in Ocala, John M. Goodell. And I worked with him up till Christmas Day. And that job played out. So then I couldn't find nothing to do. I was living over at Spar. Couldn't find a house in Ocala. So we was over and living in Spar and working in Ocala. So the man over here in Spar, he real nice. Joe Wiser, he had a big ranch back. And we was living down on his ranch. He had 3 or 4 houses back on. So Joe was real nice. I didn't have no money to pay no rent with, didn't have no money to do nothing with, and job was gone. Couldn't get a job. Couldn't find one nowhere.
Right in the middle of the winter.
Yep. So Joe come to me and he helped me every way he could, try to find work. So he told me then, he said, now you go to town and look for work. Every month, make you right. If you don't find it, come on back and sit. You can work here on the ranch, and set posts, and build fences, this kind of thing. So I could pay my rent.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to move that way, see. So I did that for a while. And then Joe was a carpenter to start with. Joe was a good one. Well, you ever knew him and all? He's dead now. Joe Weiser.
W-I-S-E-R.
Yeah. He's dead now. But anyway, he was a good carpenter. He was from Miami, and he was an architect to start with down in Miami down there, and he came up here and bought this ranch. No, I come in here. So he got over here and found 2 or 3, well, to start with, had a house back there at, they wanted to build a couple of rooms onto it and change the roof and everything completely on it. So he goes back there and gets his job for me and Vance Parker. We came to Florida together, Parker and I.
Oh, did you?
So we didn't know a thing about carpenter work. We come down, so I got your jobs. You want the one wants this two rooms built on her house. She wants the whole top taken off and all changed around, a new roof, you know, and everything, all the trim boards and everything put in. Then we're gonna put siding on the rest of the house. See? So I told him, I said, Joe, I said, I don't want to. I appreciate you getting me a job, but I said, I don't know nothing about that kind of work. Be just as lost as I can be out there. Won't know what to do. So he said, well, I'll help you. And he said, I got all the tools you need. The amount of tools that I got. So he went over and laid out what we're supposed to do. So that's the way we built it. And then I built one house down in Wildwood after that.
You did?
Yeah. The Parker and I did.
Oh,
yeah. We got a chance to go down there and bid on a house, on an FHA house. And we got the contract on it, so
yeah.
We built it. Mr. Weiser, he let us use his tools, and he told us how to figure the lumber and what to buy, and this
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We got out and got the job on our own, see?
Yeah.
And then he helped us out on it so we could know what we was doing. So.
Now that's long run for
950. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, I went to back to Ocala and I went to work for C.W. Simmons down there. In a
well,
tire.
Now this cotton, you could pick up a whole lot of that quick, couldn't you?
You could now.
You could learn a whole lot about it just for
yeah.
a couple of jobs.
Of course, it's a world of stuff you never know, you know, on it and all that. But we enjoyed it. It's something to buy groceries with.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You know what a long time I wished I had been able to do? These old maintenance men. I don't know how much they know. Of course, I guess some of them know more than others. but they can do a little of everything,
mm-hmm.
and they never talk about it, you know. The ones I know, they don't spout off about it. But you see, they can do a little work on heaters and the refrigerator and the plumbing and
mm-hmm.
electrical and just keep a place going.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, I guess the main thing on that would be to it'd be just like on other all any kind of work, I guess. It's just getting in there and trying it.
Yes,
guess.
And putting your mind to it and
that's
looking
right.
at it.
Mm-hmm.
See,
watching what you're doing.
Yeah, but you've got to have, you know, you've got to have a turn for it. I think my trouble was I always broke more than I meant it.
Well, I guess you always do that or not, but. No, I've had to do a lot of different kind of work to make a living. Always had to work.
Now, what was Simmons? What business was that?
He was in the tire business, recapping.
Oh,
tire.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I worked there for him 7 years.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I was down there 7 years.
Well, you were a tire man.
Yeah, I done time. Well, I done all the recapping for him there the last 4 years I was there.
Yeah.
That I didn't want. I didn't take the warranty. I went down there, and when I first came by, I'd been doing mechanical work back home, done quite a bit of mechanical work. And down here, you couldn't get a job at.
Oh, yeah.
Turnip seed down there would give you $35 a week if you'd furnish all your tools.
Yes.
Never
yeah.
Which you couldn't live on.
Yeah.
But that's all you can get out of it. So I went to work with him. I was by out there one day, and I needed an old tire or on my car. I didn't have a tire on. I had to have it. Couldn't buy a new one. All I needed was a used one of some kind, that 141. So he jumped in and wanted to sell me some tires, some recaps to go on it. That day, you know, when I was in there, and I told him, I know I can't afford it. I haven't got the money, and I can't afford it. Work hadn't been too good, and I just don't have the work. Came by. He said, well, I'll give you a job if you want. So I went to work for him, I guess, that next Monday morning. I'm not just going to take it. So I went to work for him, and I worked there in the shop for about a month around there. And then I went on the road for him. That's what he hired me for. He wanted me to go on the road, sell tires. And I worked all the Dunnell and all back in there, all the coast, down this other way towards Emerness and all the way around back in there.
Well, you've really been around that.
And I run a regular route back through there, and I can call on people and sell them tires and stations and this type of thing. So I did that for a while, and then the old man got sick and had to be away for a while. So I came off the road then and stayed in the place. And I went to doing the sales when I worked there in the shop, doing the buying and keep material back there for the shop and all that. See. So I did that for about, was in there for about 2 years. Just working inside there. I did all the buying and everything for him. Even after he come back, well, I still took care of the whole shop for him. And then the recapper quit. We couldn't get nobody. Knew anything about recapping tires. So I went back and started capping them for him. Trying to keep it going until we get somebody. He never did get nobody. And
he's satisfied.
Yeah, he was satisfied, so he didn't get nobody. And so I stayed there then. I done the recapping, all the recapping there then for another 2 years. And finally just quit.
What's the trouble with recapping?
Breathing all that rubber dust.
Oh, yeah.
And all that dirt back there.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually what caused my lung trouble to start with.
Oh.
Back there in that.
Oh, way long time ago.
Yeah.
It just built up. Well, and they had no protection against it?
No, no.
You just stood there and took it?
Yeah. That's all you can do, back there buffing those little tires, getting them ready, you know, for caps and all this. And I actually think that's where it started.
What'd you have to do to them to get them ready to cap?
Well, they got a machine, you put them on back there and grind all that old rubber off of them, you know?
Yeah.
Cuts it off, grinds it off, and of course, you got to cut them down to a certain dimension and a certain width and all that, and then you got to put cement on them, let it cure out, and then you come back and that rubber rolls on it. You just roll a sheet around it and then stitch it down, roll it down on there good, and then you put it in a machine and cook them. It takes about an hour and a half, really, per tire to cook them out, you know, from the time you start on.
Yeah.
And, how many molds you got then, how much you can do a day, how many you can turn out.
Yeah. Well, it's that buffing them out that made the dust. Oh, man, life. You know, I knew this woman, she is a preacher's wife, and she made more money. He did upholstery up there. She worked in the basement, I told you about her. And that she had to quit it because it's so dusty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Acadian, that kind of work, Acadian. And you don't make that kind of money out of it to start with, see?
No.
You don't make much money out of it, really.
No.
And,
there's a whole lot of talking and with the customer that you don't get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
At least, in the upholstery.
Yeah. And you don't make that kind of money out of it.
You know, hellfire! Why didn't you tell me? I didn't know you had. Is this the bill?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, good God almighty.
Oh, I was just sitting here enjoying talking.
Well,
I'm taking half go. I'm going to run late now.
Hold you up.
No.
11:59. We used to talk right smart over here.
Yeah.
You know, I'd try to catch you sometime when you wasn't so busy. yes. Oh, man alive. That you know nobody but a young fella who never had any sickness much would get into a job like that, would they?
No, that's right.
But it catches you before you realize
mm-hmm.
it. And do they still do that?
Yeah. They still do it. Of course, most of the shops now, they made them put exhaust fans in them and this type of thing. You know, pull a lot of that stuff out. Get with me.
But a man doing the job wouldn't have sense enough to do it for himself, would he?
Well, that's true.
On his own initiative.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't.
Well, we kept after it. And I put a lot of fans in there. And I did this and I done that. It just kept changing. But there just wasn't no way that you could pull it out. And there's still no way. They haven't got it down to where it's no dust, but it's better than it used to be. And now they've got a machine now out that they can just put that tire on it, and they can turn around and walk out of the room, and it'll buff it. It's all automatic.
Yeah.
Which that helps some, see.
Well, it's amazing what automatic stuff they've
yeah.
got. And when they're changing the tire,
mm-hmm.
They don't have to put forth much muscle now,
that's
do they?
Right. That's right. It's interesting work. As far as that part goes, it's interesting. See what you can do with an old rag that's wore out and this type of thing. But it'll kill you later.
Yeah.
Well, God, I've enjoyed talking to you, but I'm going to have to run now.
Yes.
I'm going to catch a few more stops and get in the quitting time once.
Well, it passes before you know it.
You
know
this? Sure does. Thank you very much, and orange juice is very good.
Well, now that's a nice little visit with Aaron. Brought the kerosene. This is Channel 2 over, around 680. 675-80, Channel 2 over, this Saturday, the 12th of December, 1970, right at noon. We're just going to put out some goo. So now it's 1:30, 1:25. This Saturday, the 12th of December, 1970, to talk with Aaron. He brought some kerosene, $11.59 worth. This Saturday, the 12th of December, 1970, the end of the talk with air visit with Aaron. This Saturday, 12th December, 1970, Channel 2 over, around 685.